Hi everyone, I'm Liam, and welcome to another episode of Exploring the NQS, a bonus series from the Early Education Show exclusively for our Patreon supporters. So if you're listening to this, that means you're supporting the main show, which means I want to start with a big thank you. The main show will always be free, but those of you who choose to actually support us financially really, really help us out. In Exploring the NQS, I take a look at one element of the National Quality Standard one at a time until we've covered all 40. My background is as an early childhood educator and teacher, centre director, and I currently oversee professional learning and development for Northside Community Service, a not-for-profit early education provider based here in Canberra. All right, let's get started. This week, we're starting a new quality area, Quality Area 6. We're here with element 6.1.1, engagement with the service. It's part of Quality Area 6, collaborative partnerships with families and communities, and it's the first element of Standard 6.1, supportive relationships with families. The description for this element is, families are supported from enrollment to be involved in the service and contribute to service decisions. All right, so what's this one all about? So yes, new quality area. We're going to be talking a lot about families and service engagement, this quality area. And this is one I think, we've just wrapped up Quality Area 5, which to me is kind of the linchpin of the National Quality Standard. There's so much in there that's so specific to the work we're going to do. Quality Area 6 is probably one I think, I don't know if it's the least, but the one that probably I've got a lot of my own thinking still to go on this one. I think there's some issues here with the way we sometimes overbalance our engagement with families. We sometimes forget to remember that, you know, this is a service that we're leading and developing and that we're qualified and experienced to work with children. But sometimes I think we worry that we're kind of just there for families, that because families are paying the fees, which is true, that we often need to rely so much on them to agree with what we do or have to buy into what we do. And it's important to remember that what this overall area is about, which when we do that overview episode in a couple of months, by the time we get around to it, I'm really looking forward to, it is about a balance. And I worry that the balance has maybe gone too far, but that's a big intro about the entire quality area. This particular element to the engagement with the service, this really is about that idea of the back and forth between families and services. Do families understand the service that the Early Childhood Centre is providing? Do they understand how the service works, the service philosophy, those kind of things? Is there, you know, an opportunity for the service to articulate all that to the family as soon as possible? So, you know, the description for the element mentions enrollment. I'd even be talking about the waiting list and how we advertise our services. And then does the service give families opportunities to be involved in whatever the way that means? And it is important to state that the description for this element does say contribute to service decisions. So then we need to think about what kinds of decisions are we talking about? What kind of decisions do we invite input and discussion on, and which ones do we maybe have to implement in certain ways because of either, you know, the particular kind of service we want to run or the requirements of the National Quality Framework? All right, let's talk about this element in practice. I'm going to give a couple of the same as usual with this series is, you know, probably three particular things I want to think about in practice, and I've given a pretty garbled intro to this one because I think there are a lot of this is a really good discussion point for the sector in the main Early Education Show podcast. We've done a few episodes on families and that the balance of that relationship between the service and the people who are paid and qualified to do that work and families who obviously and rightly, you know, are advocates for their children and for particular approaches to early education that maybe we agree with and maybe we don't. But the first thing I want to talk about here is what sort of makes that balance or that dynamic easier is if we are clear right from the start. So as I sort of said before, even thinking about enrollment, but the waiting list, we need to be really clear about who we are and what we stand for. An example of this is, for those who listen to the podcast regularly will know, I'm not a huge fan of using software apps for children's learning documentation and then sharing it with families. So we're talking about those products that are kind of everywhere. I don't want to necessarily name any of them because I don't want to have a go either at particular products or say the services are doing the wrong thing if they're using them. It's just an issue that I and the people I work with have. So we often have we're recording this in 2019. So when families join the waiting list or they go on a centre tour, they're now kind of asking, like, oh, do you use this program, or how do you send photos to me every single day? And we have to have the discussions with them really early, saying, actually, we don't do that. We prioritize we prioritize reducing the amount of documentation for educators. We prioritize educators being with children, teaching and educating them, and not away tapping onto an iPad or a laptop as much as possible. Because then families have the choice then to decide whether that's for them. Now, if families come to us and they want, you know, a daily, you know, photo stream of the things their children are doing, and they want educators taken away from the work, in my view, that they're qualified to do so, that's totally okay, but they won't be able to do it at the service, at one of the services I work with. And because we've been clear, that conversation could be a lot harder 6 months down the tracks if we just hadn't sort of been clear with them. So 6 months in, the family goes, look, we're not getting this, we're not getting that. And we go, well, that's just not the way we do it. You know, the family's got a right to feel a bit, you know, not happy about how that's gone down. Being clear from this, and that's just one example, is documentation, but it might be things like, do you engage with social justice in a particular way? Will you talk about things like refugee rights with children, or, you know, including particularly strong approaches to Indigenous perspectives? So maybe you don't celebrate Australia Day. Now, if you've been clear with families right from enrollment that this is the kind of service we are, we will be talking about and discussing those issues, it's much harder for the family in 9 months' time to go, oh, well, we don't like children doing anything about that. And you can say, well, unfortunately, that's the kind of service we are. So it is really that being clear from the start is a really important practice, and I really recommend it to all services. Know what you stand for and stand up for it. Be really clear. The next thing that's really important is that the engagement with the service is important, not just because the service is embedded in the community and that we want community and family involvement in what we do. It's really important that we know, and there's some elements to sort of reflect this in Quality Area 1 as well, is that we know children learn best when we know children well, so we have information about children from families, and that's kind of covered in Quality Area 1. But at a deeper level, what's important is that children will feel more safe, more more respected and more involved in the community if they know that the adults in the center they're working with value the other important people in their lives. And this is a more, you know, complicated concept. It's hard to sort of tick off on a box and go, you know, yes. And the example I would use here is, you know, that all about me form, where we kind of I'm as guilty as this as everyone, you know, you hand sort of this child and family information form to all new families, you know, they fill it in. If you're lucky, you know, the team leader might glance at it before, you know, starting the day. What tends to happen, and again, entirely putting my hand up here, having done this as well, is it gets put in a folder somewhere and no one has ever, you know, probably even looks at it, you know, beyond the first week or something. And that's really common. The work is busy, and we know that that only gives us a really small amount of information about children. We get to know children by interacting and engaging and forming those relationships, which we've just talked over a few weeks about. So it is the idea of services that do this well really go beyond the all about me form. They might still have some kind of form, but they might be asking different kind of questions, not just the sound, you know, what language do you speak and what are your favourite things to do? And, you know, they might ask deeper questions around how children engage with other people outside the centre, what they would like the families, what they would like the people in the family to know about their own learning. You know, services can come up with some really interesting approaches to that, but It's about always remembering that's only one really small part of getting to know a child and a family, and it's really only one small part of a family contributing information or ideas to the service. So thinking beyond the all about me form is a really good place to start. The other thing to think about here is, I think a good thing about how involvement can look. So the contribution to service decisions, which is in the description, won't look the same for every family, and it can't. So where educators, I think, and you'll often hear educators say, you know, families just don't look at the program, or they won't contribute, or we invite them in all the time and we just don't get many people taking up. That's completely understandable from the educator perspective. But we also need to remember that families are diverse and have different approaches. They want different things from their child's time in the service, and there will always be those families who are really ready and eager to contribute, and there are some who just want to do the drop-off and pick-up and will occasionally glance at an email. And that's important to remember, well, a couple of things, that's about the diversity of family involvement, but it's also it's an opportunity for us to just stop beating ourselves up a little bit. So I've talked to a lot of educators who sort of take it personally, or think that, you know, they're not doing their job properly if families aren't involved. What we need to remember about this, and probably a lot of the elements in this area, is that all we can do is make the opportunities available. We cannot force families to contribute, and you can't be rated poorly on assessment and rating. If you've come up with all these amazing and different and diverse ideas to bring families into the centre, and for whatever reason, you know, the take-up is low, all you can do is make those opportunities available and do your best. What's not okay is if you kind of have one approach to contribute. So maybe three times a year you send an email that says, look, do you have a special skill at home, or are you happy to come in and share what you do with children? You know, that's not really, that's not the best way we could approach that. We want to think about diverse opportunities. Do we do open nights, curriculum nights, opportunities for working bees, all those kind of classic things. But even just, can you send us a quick email? Sending us surveys is one I'm a big fan of, because you can get some great feedback from families, and families are more likely, you know, when children are tucked in at bed at night and they've got a spare few minutes and they see the email flash out, they might go, do you know what, I've got 5 minutes to quickly fill in some information about how we do a particular thing. And you can get some really good data, but there are lots of different ideas about how you can do that. All right, let's have a think about some suggestions for nominated supervisors. Really important, the centre director is often the first point of contact, maybe with an enrolment or admin person, but the primary point of contact for families as they're dealing with, you know, either issues or, you know, both positive and negative, is probably going to be the centre director, who will get the email or get the phone call. So for nominated supervisors, this is a really important part of your practice, balancing those requirements, standing up for your service, but inviting families to contribute as well. One of the things I would sort of make a suggestion here, because really all the things I talk about in practice are really sort of for nominated supervisors as well, but the specific bit of guidance I'd give here is really getting as much feedback from families early on as possible. So that includes things like, you know, sending out a quick feedback survey after a centre tour. And one thing that's really changed the way we sort of work with the services I currently work with at the moment is that 6 weeks after every child starts, their family gets a really quick survey just to say, how are things going? Are you enjoying XYZ? Is this working for you? Is that not working for you? And it means that, A, we can resolve problems really quickly if they've come up, because as people listening will know, it can be hard if the initial experience isn't great. It's often hard to turn that around. Not impossible, but it can be more difficult. And for some reason, there will just be some families who aren't comfortable with raising concerns, by email or by a phone call. But if they get a quick survey, they can just go, do you know what, this hasn't worked. And they're being asked specific questions. So we found that's really helped centre directors being able to have specific conversations with families about how things are going. But it does help us identify issues. So that self-assessment and critical reflection process is really important for us. So I'm not saying you necessarily have to do a survey for everything. I'm a big fan of surveys because you get them back quite easily and you get lots of nice data, and I'm a bit of a nerd and I like that kind of stuff. But how could you get more feedback from families? Maybe it's a phone call, you know, 6 or 7 or 8 weeks after they start, or a meeting, or however you want to do that. But getting that information is really important. The other thing for centre directors, and this is kind of just a bit of advice because I worry, as I sort of talked about in the first part, is that the balance sometimes goes too far, is stand your ground when it matters. If there's something you do in your service that you're really proud of, there's a reason you do it, and families disagree, don't feel like just because they're paying the fee or because you have pressure from, from a particular, you know, the financial part of your organization, it's those pressures are real and understandable. But don't feel like you have to change the way you do things just because someone's complained. As we said, if we're clear with families at the start, this is how we do things, this is why we do them, then families can make an informed choice. But if it's something you do that's important, stand your ground. You have the right to do so. And it's not about just doing whatever families tell you to do. All right, a couple of quick suggestions for the quality improvement plan. These are pretty straightforward, and probably a lot of these are in practice already. But my first one would be the enrollment and orientation process is regularly reviewed and updated. So you can sort of demonstrate whether that process is still working, and using some of that feedback maybe you're collecting is a great way to do that. And the service provides multiple ways for families to contribute. Really important, and listing what those are will be a great part of the assessment and rating process, but really making sure, have you thought about as many ways as possible that families can contribute to the extent they're happy with? There'll always be some families who maybe want to contribute too much and you want to even tap the brakes slightly. There will be some that just want to tap in and tap out at particular times, and we need to kind of get comfortable with that. All we can do is make sure we've got those opportunities available. right, we've now begun quality area 6, so only this and one other quality area to go. I'm amazed we're burning through them pretty quickly. Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll be back next week with Element 6.1.2, and until then, it's goodbye from me.